Healthy habits are fun once they're part of your daily schedule. But getting there is the hard part. There are so many obstacles, like finding the time, overcoming the inertia, being consistent, to name just a few. But did you know that you have natural character strengths, brain strengths, and personality that can all leverage you to propel you forward? Those are special things unique to you. So how do you learn what they are and how to use them? Stand by. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. Hello and welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Many people never realise that they could make life a lot easier for themselves if they understood themselves better and played to their strengths. Meet Rodney. As a 15-year-old, life was really hard going. Watch.
I go back and I think about when I was 15 years old and I was homeless and I was sleeping in the park. And I know what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. The only option for me was, you know, and people really don't understand the mode of survival. And the mode of survival means that I'm in the street. I can't find a job. I'm too young. Where am I going to get a job from? To get a job, you have to have a work permit. To have a work permit, you got to be in school. I have nobody to enroll me in school at this point in my life. So that mode of survival kicks in. And that means if I had to be getting the drug trade business, if I got to start selling drugs, that's what I got to do. Because one can come tell me, Rodney, you shouldn't be selling drugs. Rodney, you shouldn't be doing this. Give me another opportunity. Because you go back home to get in your bed. I don't have a bed to get in. So at this point now, I got to figure out how to get a bed to sleep in, how to get food to eat, how to get clothes on my back. Because every day being in those streets, it was that chance that I was taking. I was playing Russian roulette with my life every day. And it came to that point to where, thank God I didn't die. I came very close, but I got shot. I was this close to dying. I was having surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. Didn't know if I'd ever walk again. I had a colostomy bag on me. At that point in my life, I couldn't see no good. I felt like that I was fair to everybody in the street. That no matter what, I was hustling, but I showed love to the community. The community loved me and embraced me. And for somebody to rob me and try to kill me over some money, they crushed me.
Crushed to know how little others cared about him. On today's show, we have a familiar guest with an unfamiliar topic. There's a super easy dessert to prepare. We'll find out more about ourselves and learn the rest of Rodney's story. First up, the news. In the headlines today, belt size mirrors cancer risk, going nuts after colon cancer, and cured meat worsens lungs. Fat around the waist is an indicator of obesity-related cancer risk. The WHO's International Agency for Research on Cancer analyzed data from about 43,000 people who were followed for around 12 years. More than 1,600 of them were diagnosed with an obesity-related cancer. Researchers found that either an extra 4.3 inches or 11 centimetres on the waist or an extra 3 inches or 8 centimetres on the hips increased the risk of obesity-related cancers by 14%. After smoking, excess weight is the single biggest preventable cause of cancer and is associated with 13 types of cancer, including bowel, breast, and pancreas. So what small change can you make today to reduce your waistline and your risk of cancer? Colon cancer patients who eat nuts may halve their risk of death from the disease. A pair of preliminary cohort studies of 800 people undergoing chemotherapy for stage 3 colon cancer assessed lifestyle factors like diet, exercise, weight, and alcohol intake. Subjects were followed for 7 years, and those with the highest healthy lifestyle score had 42% lower risk of death compared with those with the lowest score. Participants were also asked about consumption of nuts. Peanuts or peanut butter gave no advantage, but those eating tree nuts at least twice a week had 57% lower adjusted risk of death and 42% lower risk of complications compared with those never eating nuts. So if you've ever battled colon cancer, eat lots of fruit and veg, choose whole grains over refined, avoid red and processed meats, be physically active an hour 5 days a week, and eat nuts. Eating cured meat may worsen asthma. Previous studies show a clear association with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So for 7 years, researchers followed almost 1,000 European adults, 42% who had asthma, to track their symptoms. 20% reported worsening of asthma symptoms during those 7 years. Those who ate 4 servings or more of cured meat per week were 75% more likely to have increasing asthma symptoms than those eating less than 1 serving a week. Salt or nitrates are used to cure the meat, but they do not cure the person eating it, quite the opposite. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news. Today's guest is Dr. Liana Leonov, past president of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, and her passion is to find individualized ways to nudge us all forward to cleaner living. I asked her what she thinks is the key to success when it comes to making healthy choices.
Well, we always talk about that knowledge is not behavior. We all know that we need to eat healthier and be more active, get enough sleep, all that stuff. And then life challenges us in many ways. Lack of time, sometimes the obvious things. But I think the key to success is much deeper than that. That sometimes it's more the clutter in our minds, and maybe we're lonely, we're distracted with possibly negative relationships, we're not finding meaning in our lives, we're looking at sort of the negative side of our lives. And so the key to success then, since that's our challenge, is to flip that around and start to look at what is going well in our lives that we can leverage to be healthier, and what's going in with ourselves, what strengths we bring to the table. Even if we feel like our entire lives is crashing around us, there's some solid something in us that is the seed to our own success.
Wow, so that's really going to look at our more, you start with our emotional needs, our perception of how we're doing, and then breeding success off of that.
Yes, yes. Our emotions are so key. They're the key driver to making change. And one of the leading leaders in the health behavior change world, Margaret Moore, who has a whole coaching group, has actually been quoted to say something like that, that emotion is the driver to behavior change.
So once we meet those emotional needs, how does that change us to then move forward with health behaviors or other things that we want to change in our lives?
Exactly. So it's really about feeling more energetic, feeling lighter, feeling in our comfort zone, that we're in our groove, we're happier, lighter, more energetic, find meaning and purpose in our lives. And so then it's so much easier to go towards a healthy path. We might say if we're down and depressed and lonely and looking at the negative side and we're reaching for the chocolate cake or reaching for those unhealthy behaviors or sitting on the couch watching TV for hours, and all of a sudden it's like, what do I have to draw on? And if we have that meaning and energy, we're going to be hopefully bouncing off that couch and saying, I'm going to go off and do those activities. I'm going to be with those people that bring me meaning. I'm going to do things in my life, my hobby, my gardening, my friends that I can go walking with. It's a positive forward driver.
And happy feelings can be great drivers for change. Now it's time to think about this. There.
Oh, looky there. This will be perfect. This will keep me safe riding my bicycle.
Looks great, but it's really not a safety helmet.
Oh, you don't think so? I'm not worried about wearing a helmet. We never had them when we were kids, and I turned out just fine.
I'm not so sure about that.
What do you mean?
Oh, never mind. Our grandparents didn't have bike helmets. They also didn't have running toilets. So by the same logic, are you saying that you don't need a toilet either?
Oh no, I definitely need a toilet, but helmets are for sissies.
But in a crash, they reduce the risk of head injuries by 50%.
But that won't happen to me.
And they reduce the risk of face and neck injuries by over 30%.
Oh, well, I guess with this beautiful face, I better wear a helmet, huh?
83% of people who die in a bike crash were not wearing a helmet.
You know what? You have convinced me I need to wear a helmet, but I wish I could find one that was as cool as this watermelon.
Well, how about this one?
Oh, wow. Thanks for that. Cool. Thanks.
Wear a helmet and protect your melon. Doctor's orders. I've just found out that there is actually a gene for having a sweet tooth. And I think I inherited it, and I know which parent I inherited it from, but I better not say. And so I've got the sweet tooth gene, and what about you, Phil?
Do you I'm sorry to say that I probably have it too.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't name our parents who gave it to us, right? But what we've got for you today is a dessert, because I think you need to feed your sweet tooth with healthy things. So, Phil, tell us what goes in this dessert today.
Well, I'm excited because we're making carob chia pudding, which takes 1.5 cups of almond milk, 6 tablespoons of carob powder or unsweetened cocoa powder, 3 tablespoons of maple syrup or 6 dates, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1/3 cup of chia seeds.
Hmm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of great stuff in this. This is not your standard pudding. This is going to be full of nutrients. It's going to taste great. It's going to be everything.
It is. And it's got sweetener, but that sweetener comes with fiber if you're using the dates, which I always favor if I can. And there's a lot of fiber in carob if you're using the carob. Of course, there's lots of antioxidants in the unsweetened cocoa if you go that way. So lots of options here.
Well, this sounds great. So how do we start?
So we've got the almond milk here. Why don't we just throw this in? You start by chopping up those dates. Just throw them straight in. Pinch of salt. Don't usually put salt in your desserts, do you?
No. Of course, I will say that I enjoy a little bit of a salt with a sweet taste.
Oh. You like your salty and sweet. Hmm. I know a few people who eat potato chips and ice cream, and to me that's like, what? Do you like that?
I have never had that before, but
don't start.
Maybe that'll be something to try.
No, don't start.
In moderation.
I'll put a drop of vanilla in there.
Now
and
I
then we can blend that up.
We are holding off on our chia seeds. So those go in later?
We can put them in now or we can put them in later. I think if we're using the dates rather than the maple syrup, we're going to need to blend it quite well. So we might hold the chia seeds till later. But the chia seeds are what thickens this, so it doesn't hurt. Either way, it's going to thicken it. Here we go. All right. You want to throw those chia seeds
yes.
in for me? Oh. I'll give it a quick blast.
I love the consistency of what chia seeds do to a liquid. Like they just kind of take on the liquid and they can become a little gelatinous. And to me, it just adds to it.
It does, doesn't it? Here we go. And that's it. Then we're going to set that up and put it in the fridge for several hours. Usually it takes at least 4, but if you have the time, I think it turns out better if you can just leave it in overnight or all day. But I find chia seed pudding is so much fun.
Well, I am really excited because this looks terrific. I love the idea that it's healthier than just pudding, but it's a great alternative, especially if you, like us, have a sweet tooth and you have a craving for something that may not be as healthy as what we should be eating.
Right, and you just tell your sweet tooth, this is it, this is all you're going to get. So, yeah, and then you can decorate it so beautifully.
This looks amazing. This is gorgeous.
Tell me what you think.
Hmm. That has a terrific pudding taste, And I love the crunch and the gelatinous feeling of the chia seeds. Mm. That's a really good one. I enjoy that.
Great. I'm glad you're going to make it. I hope Mrs. Riley enjoys it. And if you didn't catch that recipe, you can find it on our website, hopetv.org/gohealthy. Now, remember Rodney? As a teen, he was living on the streets, too young to get a job, so he was barely surviving. Then life got a whole lot worse. He was shot. After coming back from the brink of death, with the encouragement and generosity of community mentors, he attended a VIA workshop. And thanks to VIA Strengths, or VIA Strengths, we bring you his life-changing story. Watch.
Back in December, I went to a training in Chicago. And at this training in Chicago, it's about VIA. And when I went to this training, I didn't know anything about VIA, what VIA stood for, what VIA was about, and really I didn't know why I was at this training. And I thought to myself, this is going to be another social service type thing, another event that people are going to try to sell you something and get you to follow them. When I took this survey, when I first was looking at these questions, I was like, whoa, these are some strange questions. Like, what's the point of this? So I'm taking it. Of course, it got lengthy, and I'm like, well, it took me about 10, 15 minutes to take the survey. So as I'm taking the survey, I'm thinking to myself, what's going to be the outcome of this? So I finish it. And I get these results, and when I get these results, it's like, huh? But I seen so much of me on this paper that I wasn't connecting with. I seen so much of myself and things that I know that are in me, but it was so much more refreshing and so much more direction given to me when I looked at this paper and I was able to see that these are things that I can build on. These are things that can help me move forward in my life. When I grew to embrace my strengths and really focus and think about the things and how I could benefit if I just sit down and focus on my gifts and the strengths that I have within me, inside of me, that I would be able to be successful in life. My number one strength is social intelligence. And I feel that that's going to be the strength that's going to take me a long way in my life. The best part of my life is in front of me, not behind me. And being taking this VIA training, taking this VIA survey, and understanding VIA has given me that. Has really given me clarity to that and reassurance to that. Because you've given me something and taught me something and allowed me to understand something that I didn't understand before. That don't go away. That is so critical. Being able to connect people, to have that, be able to create that same support system that was created for myself, is what I do now at LMS with the youth. Dealing with youth every single day has allowed me to use this tool because it's so important. If people just can understand it, everybody has a gift. And in everybody's gift, that can be the solution to your problem. But you really can understand that if you don't know self and you don't know how to focus on self strengths and the things that you have to offer from self.
In her book, My Happy Avatar, Dr. Leonov describes brain strengths that we all have, strengths that changed Rodney's life. I asked her to share more information on these.
Things that I cover in that book, and that's actually part of the basic theory that I've put together that we can now put into action steps, it comes from a psychologist, Carl Jung, and he identified 8 cognitive strengths, or another easier way to think of it is just brain strengths, the way we use our brain. And we all use our brain a little bit differently, and that's in the theory is that that's a part of our underlying personality. Some of that is genetic, some of it is our environment as we grow up. And so an example of one of those strengths might be that we are deeply driven by our values. So of course all of us are driven by our values, but for some people that really clicks for them, and that's going to propel them forward. If they're a volunteer, for example, that's meaningful to them, or they know that if they're a little bit healthier, they're going to be there for their grandchildren when they're older, and their family is their source of meaning, that kind of thing. Or Or another example of a brain strength might be that you're more organizationally minded and rational and kind of think about systems and how things come together. And so it's easier for you to develop an action plan for your life and even some tasks, you know, a work plan. And you check that box off about what you really would like to do to better your life. But for some people, that's like, oh, you know, I mean, yeah, I know that that's helpful, but it just isn't the driver for me. Whereas others, it's like, it feels so good to check that list and be organized and make sure I have the right people and the right resources in my life to be successful.
Okay, so then how can we find out what, because we can't really tell ourselves, how do we find out what our cognitive strengths are? Are there tests that we can do online, or where do we go?
Sure. So the Myers-Briggs personality type is the best known of the questionnaires. It's the one that's vetted in research is a pretty long one. It's 126 questions, and you pretty much have to get to a counselor to get access to it. But there are other companies online you can just research that have short questionnaires that give you some idea. But some people might not even be interested in taking a questionnaire so much as just exploring for themselves. And so, I like that approach because I don't like to have people feel like they have to be put in a box. It's rather, it's a toolkit, and we can mix and match and see what's most comfortable. So for each of those eight brain strengths, there is a question that I've developed to help you kind of think about, well, does this fit me if I'm presented with a problem? Kind of what is my natural first way of approaching that problem? And I do talk about that in my book. I have a blog on the website on myhappyavatar.com, and that's a way to start thinking about, okay, well, these are some of my brain strengths, and then really you just have to go out there and apply it and find out what works for you. And hopefully also by using those brain strengths, again, that energizes you that we were talking about before in order to do the things that you really want to do in your life.
And that helps you find the path to get there because you're playing to your strengths.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, you also mentioned character strengths. What might those include? What sort of things? You know, when I read that, I was like, character strengths? And I had to jump online to understand that. So just share that with our viewers.
Sure. So this is actually part of the field of coaching now that's going in this positive psychology direction. Again, what is going right for us in our world is going to leverage us and help us move forward much easier. And so one lens, we were talking about the personality brain strengths, but another lens is these character strengths. And at viastrengths.org, you can actually go on there. It's a free way of answering some questions and finding out there are 24 of them, and which ones are at the top, which five are at the top. And that group at the University of Pennsylvania is using that for their research. They've had people from all over the world answer that, and it's very interesting even to compare yourself to kind of how things are going around the world. So examples, though, to answer your questions might be honesty or an appreciation of beauty or temperance or a feeling of zest and leadership, for example. And so each of those are things that are deep inside us, that we carry with us no matter what's going on around us. And during really difficult times, challenging times, or even if you're not challenged, but you're trying to solve a problem, move forward for a problem, is to say, well, what are my strengths and how can I use them to move forward with my plan?
Ah, so they're the things that we sort of naturally fall back on, and they can propel us forward to do what we want.
Exactly. So they take a lot less energy to apply them, and yet there's a lot of merit in using them to move forward.
Mm. So if honesty is one of your top character strengths, then you would use that to how would you use that? Honesty or love or zest? How would you use them to actually?
So honesty might be as simple as being honest with yourself. Sometimes we're in a rush and in denial, and to sit down and say, what is going on with my life? And yeah, maybe there's some parts there that I kind of would have wanted to sweep under the rug, but you know, let me just be, I'm naturally honest with people. Let me start with myself. the zest one is a great one because, of course, I'm all about happiness. And so if you have a drive for zest, that's sort of self-explanatory, that you're going to want to connect with people, do projects, etc., and that's naturally, you're going to seek out that exuberation in life, or beauty, seek out beauty, and that inspires you.
So if it's beauty, then you might say, well, I need to exercise outdoors and find a pretty spot to do that. Is that
yeah,
the sort of
exactly, thing? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So actually, I'm just now in the process of on my app where I have people identify their brain strengths and their character strengths. I'm trying to figure out the best way to help people apply that in very practical steps. So we'll hopefully have some little audios, videos, and tips about exactly to answer your question for each of those strengths. How do you apply it in very practical ways? And so that's a good one. Beauty. You want to then be outside and appreciate the beauty while you're doing your healthy behaviors.
And now consider this.
Imagine having a life coach who knows everything there is to know, who understands you better than anyone and wants to make you exceedingly successful. And they don't cost a penny. Wouldn't you sign up with them? Isaiah 48, 17 to 19 says, "This is what the Lord, your protector, says, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you how to succeed, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had obeyed my commandments, then your peace would have flowed to you like a river. Blessings would have come to you like the waves of the sea, and your descendants would have been as numerous as the grains of sand on the beach. The ocean is filled with an endless source of rivers. The waves are never ending. And I couldn't begin to count the number of grains of sand, even in just one handful." So God is saying, if we let Him be our life coach, we'll have an endless source of peace, a never-ending supply of blessings, and a legacy that will be countless. What would you be willing to forego in exchange for all that?
Personality is a more or less stable and enduring organization of our characteristics, temperament, intellect, and physique, and it determines how we adjust to our environment and to other people. There are many different ways to classify personality type, but here are just a few. One is the classic type A, type B personality. For example, type A is more driven, high-performing. Type B is more relaxed. This theory was devised by a couple of cardiologists who found that type A's had more heart attacks, and subsequent counseling about temperament reduced the risk of a second heart attack. Then there's the big five personality traits. That's commonly used in research nowadays, which includes openness to experience, conscientiousness, or how organized or messy we are, extroversion, or being outgoing versus being reserved, agreeableness, or being friendly versus being detached, or finally, neuroticism, which is the opposite to being emotionally stable. Then there's Myers-Briggs with its 16 personality types based on introversion versus extroversion. That signifies the source or the direction of energy expression. Sensing versus intuition for how information is perceived. Thinking versus feeling with regard to how we process information and make decisions. And then judging versus perceiving, referring how do we implement that information and carry it out in our plans. There's the four temperament model of enthusiastic sanguine, the direct choleric, analytical melancholy, and the peaceful phlegmatic. And while it's fun and interesting to analyze your personality, it can be helpful to know how weaknesses in your personality can set you up for health consequences and how your strengths can protect you. You can then take action to protect yourself, like type A's who learned how to reduce their risk of another heart attack. Another aspect of type A's is hostility. People who are hostile tend to eat and smoke more and exercise less. That means they weigh more, have higher cholesterol and blood pressure, they have more abnormal heart rhythms, and are more likely to die before they're 50. On the inside, they have higher levels of the stress hormone, cortisol. But you know, there's good news. You can learn to deal with hostility. Learn how to deal with stressful circumstances and stressful people. learn how to communicate better. And then you can put coping techniques into your day, you know, things like exercise, meditation, deep breathing. Being an extrovert means that you seek and build friendships. Good social support is linked to longevity, less stress, better immune function, and if you're an extrovert, you'll be best exercising in a group. Melancholy personalities are more likely to dwell on negative emotions, and they face higher risks of heart disease, depression, and anxiety. So maybe a gratitude journal, a daily list of five things that for which you're grateful, a way to reflect on what life would be like without them, might be helpful for you. You can write thank you notes to people who you want to thank. Introverts will enjoy exercising with alone, things like running, cycling, swimming. Those things will recharge you because you like to be alone. That's where you get your energy from. If you're more comfortable with familiarity, you'll find yourself ordering the same meal at the same restaurant time and time again. That means you're probably going to be happy with an exercise video or a regular gym class. If you're someone who likes change and excitement, you're going to need a variety of classes or variety of activities that will maintain your interest in exercising. So I suggest you write down your health goals. It might be to lose weight, to eat vegetarian meals 3 times a week, to get more servings of fruit and veggies, or to drink more water and less coffee. Increase strength or endurance. Run a 5K in the spring or the fall. Spend time meditating for at least 15 minutes every morning. Avoid negative speech. Whatever it is, write it down somewhere that you can see it to keep yourself motivated. Then find out what your personality type is by going online. Know your strengths and weaknesses. Figure out the ways that you are most likely to achieve success in reaching your health goals. And remember, reward yourself along that journey.
Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? Well, when it comes to preventing ovarian cancer, tomatoes might be the queen of fruit. Women who eat tomatoes more than 5 times per week have a significantly lower risk of ovarian cancer than women who occasionally or never eat them. Women who regularly consumed fruit also had a lower risk, according to the Adventist Health Study. Salsa, anyone? Eating tomatoes at least 5 times a week is another ageless advantage.
Now it's time to answer your questions. Krista asked, I had thyroid nodules and a thyroidectomy. I'm on thyroxine. Should I take iodine? Well, iodine is necessary for the thyroid to make thyroid hormones. If you don't have a thyroid, then you actually don't need it, unless you're pregnant, because then the developing fetus would need the iodine, or if you have fibrocystic breast disease. Now, if you have some thyroid left, then using iodine can help stop that remaining thyroid from enlarging. But iodine is actually present in crops grown in soils that have iodine in them, and in fish and dairy, of course. But if you decide that you want to take iodine because you live in an area where the crops won't have iodine, then it's better to take it in a pill than to take it as kelp, because in kelp you don't know how much you're getting and you can actually overdose. Someone called and asked, which intestine is involved in diarrhea within 20 minutes of eating, small or large? Well, after eating, there's actually a reflex that pushes the food all the way through the entire digestive tract from the beginning to the end. So that involves both the small intestine and the large intestine. So if I was you, I'd be wanting to know which foods and drinks might be doing this. Is there a pattern to this? Or is there a problem with the digestive tract itself? Here's another question. Velda posted this. What is your take on the need for calcium supplements post-menopause? Well, I'll start with men. I know men don't go through menopause, but for them, there's some evidence that supplementation is not a good idea. But it's important for all of us to eat foods rich in dietary calcium. So that's tofu, green leafy vegetables, and if you consume dairy, low-fat dairy. For women, the studies are not consistent regarding calcium supplementation, but the evidence suggests that taking 1,000 milligrams or more a day increases the risk of cardiovascular disease, the calcification of our arteries. So the jury's out a little bit on this one. Vegetarians, and especially vegans,
can be low in both calcium and protein, and those are both important to prevent fractures. So be sure you're getting enough protein, and a middle-of-the-road kind of view might be that you take 500 milligrams a day in addition to having a calcium-rich diet. So don't forget to send us your questions, text, Facebook, phone, or contact us through your website, through our website. Like us on Facebook to become part of the Go Healthy for Good community. Now let's see what's for dinner today.
Kale abounds in a carotenoid called lutein. That's what colours nasturtiums yellow. Lutein's accumulated by the retina at the back of the eye, and especially by an area called the macula. That's responsible for central vision, and it's most at risk for oxidative damage and macular degeneration. Lutein's also protective against cataracts. Kale contains many phytochemicals that are both antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, which help avoid chronic inflammation and oxidative stress. Kale lowers the risk of cancer in the bladder, the breast, the colon, the ovary, and the prostate. And with its high fiber, it's a great tool against high cholesterol. With only 35 calories per cup of cooked kale, you can eat as much as you want. Or perhaps I should say you should eat more than you want. Steam it with onion, add a little fenugreek that cuts the bitterness, throw in some red bell peppers for sweetness and colour, and bon appetit. Dr. Seligman, the pioneer of positive psychology, said there are five things necessary for emotional well-being: positive emotions, engagement, relationships, meaning, and accomplishment. I asked today's guest, Dr. Liana Leonoff, what is meant by the term engagement.
And I think of that as the kinds of hobbies we might have in our day-to-day activities, and it also does tie into the R, the relationships as well, that again boost that emotional energy that then drive us forward to do a healthier, happier life. And there's another gentleman, and his name is very difficult to pronounce, but he has a wonderful book, has done a lot of research. The book is easy to remember, it's Flow, if you look that up online. But his name is Csikszentmihalyi. And whew, I think I said that right. And he talks about that it's almost a meditative mindfulness process, that if we find it might be gardening or painting or even movement, dance, that we're fully engaged in that experience, so much so that we completely lose track of time. So it has to challenge us just enough so that it's a little bit beyond reach, so it keeps us focused and concentrating and forgetting the rest of our troubles, but not so much that we think, oh, that's just so difficult to do, I'm just gonna forget about it. And just that sweet spot there is that flow mindfulness state. And for people who maybe don't do formal meditation or some kind of formal practice and are looking for a fun way to get that inner peace and inner happiness, that's an example of a flow experience. And I sort of equate, to answer your question, the positive emotion and engagement with those kinds of flow activities.
Mm. So then the next one, R, is relationships. How do we use that for increasing well-being?
Well, there's a whole set of literature around social supports, relationships, and how absolutely crucial they are to our overall well-being. And one of our famous heroes in lifestyle medicine is Dean Ornish, and he published a book now nearly two decades ago called Love and Survival, where he summarized a lot of the research then, and we've had so much more research now, that the more that we relationships we have in our lives, and especially some more intimate, connected relationships, we tend to be healthier and live longer. And there's the longest happiness study in the world comes out of Harvard, and they followed some boys over 75 years, and they compared the Ivy League boys going to Harvard to the inner city boys, and followed them over all those years so they could sort of look at, take out the equation of socioeconomic status and some of those challenges and say, okay, well, what are the factors in their lives that 75 years later they were still alive, they were vibrant, they were healthy? And the single most important factor was the social connection and relationships. And in the younger years, it's the number of relationships they have. In the later years, it's also the number of relationships in the sense of have. It might be in your church group. It might be in your neighborhood. It might be at school, at work. But the more venues that you have, connections, that bolsters you, both in the beginning of life and the end of life. But in the middle of life, it's that having a very good, intimate, confidant relationship to turn to during those stressful midlife times. And that's directly related to living a long, healthy life.
So we need to put some effort into our friendships and into our relationships, don't
we? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So and also, of course, the common sense thing is that they can also help us with just the regular healthy behaviors, you know, and help us stay accountable to some of our other goals in that sense.
Yes, that's right. So we can really play those along and make the most of them. Next one is meaning. What's meaning? How do you use that for increasing wellness?
Yes, I'm glad you raised that, because that's another very important and good research to show what is connected to health, happiness, and potentially longevity. So when we think of happiness, we might think of pleasant activities. And so there is a group of pleasant activities, just enjoying a peaceful walk on the beach or listening to some beautiful music, relaxing. So that's one kind of activity. The other kind of activity that connects to meaning and purpose is if we are taking care of our grandchildren, if we are really working hard towards a meaningful cause, something that every day we know really connects us to something bigger than ourselves that is very important to us, it's a very fancy term, eudaimonic happiness. And that kind of happiness, which is not your usual relaxation happiness, is the one. That one is more linked to health and longevity and happiness. So really, actually, some people who, even though they're retired and they're doing a lot of other work, and they're like, "My, you're 90 years old and you're out there volunteering and doing this, and you just never stop." They're smart. They know, and they feel the energy that is actually bringing them vibrancy, happiness, and health.
And that reminds me of Dan Buettner's Blue Zones, and you know, he featured some of those centenarians in Loma Linda, and they're out driving down the highway every day. They've got a different volunteer job, five days a week, you know, at 100.
Yes, that's really the secret to life.
So that's a very powerful example, I guess, of increased well-being. And then finally is accomplishment.
Yes, an accomplishment, of course, is self-explanatory, but we all need to have goals to keep us going, and they can be small goals. They don't have to be overwhelming. They can be big goals, in which case then we have to break it down into small steps so we can get there. But the idea is that we set something for ourselves that is important to us, and that we feel that we have achieved it. And it's just, again, one of those five components that Martin Seligman, in that PERMA acronym, has explained to us. In fact, he has his book, Flourish, talks about all of that. And Martin Seligman, for people in the audience who don't know, is considered the father of positive psychology, which, again, is the psychologist's research around happiness. And those are the crucial pillars to happiness and, again, emotional vibrancy.
And every one of us wants that. More from Dr. Leonov after the break, so don't go away. You probably know Joni Erickson Tada's story. Here it's brought to us by Centre Street Church. Notice how she relies on her character strengths and giftings to make the world a better place, in particular for those who, like her, are disabled. Watch.
I was 17 years old, athletic, took a dive, and bang, I can't use my hands, I can't move, my legs, everything's paralyzed. I'm a quadriplegic. The doctor announced that I had severed my spinal cord at the fourth cervical level, that I'd never use my hands or my legs for the rest of my life, and he walked out of the door. I can't live like this. And I just sank into depression. A Christian friend shared with me, "Johnny, God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. I realized God takes no pleasure in my spinal cord injury, but he loves the way he is changing me in it and encouraging others through it. Psalm 10 says that God hears the cry of the afflicted. His heart goes out to those with disabilities. He is filled with compassion for those with special needs. I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. I'm a Christian, author, speaker, advocate, painter. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I do all those things. But I do them because I want people to know the God that I love. I would not trade this intimacy with God, this sweetness, this nearness, this tenderness, this preciousness of faith come alive in my life. I wouldn't trade it for any amount of walking. There are 1 billion people with disabilities in the world, 80% of whom live in developing nations. That is, to me, overwhelming. I want to do everything I can to make a difference in their lives. I think God is using people with disabilities to wake up the church. God is up to something big.
Este es mi libro, mi historia. Sí, en este libro. Outwardly, our bodies are wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day.
It looks as though the foot pedals need to come up just a little bit.
Certainly.
Dios lo bendiga, hermano.
My husband Ken and I love doing Johnny and Friends together. Whether it's going to a family retreat and hanging out with other couples, whether it's delivering wheelchairs and Bibles. Is a Bible in the Spanish language?
Y acá más importante es una Biblia.
We want to get the word out. God has not abandoned those with disabilities. No, he is working through them. God's power always shows up best through weakness. The Bible says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of the weak and the needy. And we do that at Johnny and Friends. Through our Christian Institute on Disability, we are advocates. We are championing the disabled, whether it's right to life, end of life issues, physician assisted suicide, euthanasia. We speak God's truth. Johnny and Friends stands for the spark that started the movement to take the gospel where the world is bleeding out of control. I want to be there. I've got a message to share. I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing him than on my feet without him. And that is worth living for.
Now that's a fulfilling relationship, which is one of 12 ways that happiness expert Sonia Lubomirsky says will increase happiness. Another one is gratitude, which today's guest, Dr. Leonov, explains.
In this practice of happiness and what we can do to boost our emotional energy, we have to really gear to what is actually going right in our lives, because there's always something that's going right in our lives, or as we talked about earlier, if not in the outer world, something in our inner world is going right for us. And so one practice is this gratitude practice of being able to sit back in the evening and look back and say, what are three things that went well for me today? And if doing that on a regular basis has been shown in very good research that it boosts your happiness level. But what's interesting now is that Dr. Lubomirsky, who's at, University of California, Riverside, doing some leading research, has found that there's kind of a curve related to that, that if we feel forced to sit down and say, I'm going to now think about all the good things in my life, it kind of backfires, that there's kind of a dose response. And so it has to come naturally, but at least we have to remind ourselves at some regular amount of time, maybe every few days or once a week, to just sit back, reflect, again, what's going well in my life.
Mm. Another one is not overthinking. Tell us about that.
And that, again, relates to all those stressors, and then we're just focused on those stressors, and we're focused on, you know, how can I get around it, or my boss is giving me a mean look, or, you know, my husband has this mean tone, and what does that mean, and oh my gosh, and we go spinning in our heads when maybe they just were having a bad day, and it was nothing personal. And so there are some what we call cognitive behavioral techniques that we teach in our happiness courses to kind of look back and say, what is my self-talk? And is there some truth to it? Or is that a little bit distorted? And can I look at that situation a different way? Do I have evidence that someone, you know, it's basically mind reading. Oh, my boss is thinking terrible things about me just because they had a tone of voice. Can I really mind read? Probably not. And maybe I just need to be more open-minded about it and investigate a little further before I start spinning on that.
Ah, right. And then we've got optimism. That's probably obvious. It kind of links to the gratitude, doesn't it?
Yes.
Acts of kindness are going to increase our happiness.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
Doing things for others.
Yes.
You're actually doing a lot for yourself.
Yeah, right, right. So it all comes back. And then what we talked about before was relationships and flow. But another thing that was interesting is taking care of our bodies increases happiness.
It does, and there's some early research, and I'm hoping there'll be more research. One of our leading lifestyle medicine researchers in nutrition, Michael Greger, has this beautiful site, nutritionfacts.org.
Yes.
And if you actually look on his site and look for positive psychology or happiness, he highlights some studies that show that if you eat more fruits and vegetables, and fairly high amounts, we're talking maybe 7 or 8 servings a day, some of the students that they did this experiment with reported higher levels of happiness. And the interesting thing is that then the happier you are, this is making the case for emotional well-being being the foundation to health, the happier those students were, the more likely they were to pick the orange and the apple instead of the chocolate cake.
Now you've developed some resources that our viewers can access that can help them to really mobilize to meet their emotional needs and then move forward into health and wellness goals. So tell us about those resources that they can access.
Absolutely. Well, just keeping informed about the latest information is great. So I have a blog that they can learn about that, as well as we've got a series of videos that talk about each of those character strengths, brain strengths, happiness, such as gratitude, each of those components of happiness that we've been talking about throughout the show. There are tips about how to use them, as well as in our apps, actually to personalize that, and even to find a buddy or a coach that can learn about you and your strengths and keep you accountable. All of that is built into these apps to help us as tools after we've learned from these kind of resources, the books, some of the books we've mentioned, as well as the blogs and the videos. Oh, okay, this is how I can boost my emotional well-being, be happy. Now, how do I really apply it? And that's the real advantage of these resources, that we're trying to be very concrete and practical and let you explore and see what really works for you in your life.
So you're combining your knowledge of technology and smart technology along with this positive psychology, driving towards health and wellness, putting it all together in a personalized way, which is fantastic. And so I hope that this can go on for a long time and that this can really help people to change their lives and just grow, because so often we just think in terms of the physical, you know, health and wellness, but we need to be thinking about emotional health and wellness, don't we?
Absolutely. And part of what's going to be pulling this together for everyone and is this acronym that I'm calling PLAY, Positive Life All Year. And PLAY, that double entendre, also in the way we play with kids, is medicine. And to remember that, and we have a campaign going around that, and how can we make sure that the people around us, as well as the people that take care of us, really take that seriously, particularly even our doctors, who might not even be thinking along the lines that our emotional well-being is the crux of all of our health.
Harness positive emotions to propel you towards your goals, not only in the area of health and wellness, but in the rest of your life as well. Learn what your character strengths are. Jump on the VIA Strengths website. It's free, and you can learn which virtues resonate best with you and then use them to put your best foot forward. If you want to increase your happiness, then seek gratitude, optimism, or supportive relationships. Perhaps you need to offer forgiveness, to do more acts of kindness, or to devote more time to spiritual pursuits. Whatever it is, be sure to nurture your emotional wellness. That will make it so much easier to live a long, healthy, happy life. That's all from me today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.